Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Now, these few words seem to me to be vital questions as we move along in our journey through life. As a young man, or a much younger man, I was inspired by similar questions posed by an early gay activist, Harry Hay, who asked, "Who are we? Where do we come from? What are we for?" These questions are important on the personal level, and I suggest they're also important on the collective level. And this morning, in terms of collective, I'm talking about our LUF community. The reading from Tolkien this morning also has special meaning for me. I mean, Tolkien wrote about journeys, both spiritual and physical, personal and collective. Back when I was finishing my time with AIDS Thunder Bay in 2007 and retiring, I concluded a farewell talk with that poem. I'd come to see that my own life has been a journey, both physical and spiritual, just as all of us are on our own journeys where the road goes ever on. Now, we're all on a physical journey from birth to death, and we're also on a spiritual journey, although that may be less self-evident at times. Eckhart Tolle writes, "Your outer journey may contain a million steps. Your inner journey only has one, the step you are taking right now." And Wendell Berry expands on that suggestion a bit. "And the world cannot be discovered by a journey of miles, no matter how long, but only by a spiritual journey. A journey of 1 inch, very arduous and humbling and joyful, by which we arrive at the ground at our own feet and learn to be at home." In the Touchstones Journal for this month, Kirk Lodeman Copeland offers some thoughts on journeys. So, here's the deal. You are born. Welcome to the world. Your journey of life has begun. The journey has begun, and you, my friend, are a stranger in a strange land. In the midst of all of this, what is the way forward? Of course, to find your way, at least at first, you will have to learn how to rely on maps. But Mexican poet Alberto Blanco reminds us that the map is not the territory, and the territory is not the map. He writes, "A map of the real world is no less imaginary than a map of an imaginary world." Once we begin the journey, the map can be helpful, but how we traverse the territory will be unique to us. As Joseph Campbell said, "If you can see your path laid out in front of you step by step, you know it's not your path. Your own path you make with every step you take." And all of this is just the outward journey. As Lillian Smith wrote, "No journey carries one far unless, as it extends into the world around us, it goes an equal distance into the world within. The world within, for each of us, is a seeming infinity. Regardless of how far we have traversed, there are huge, undiscovered regions within awaiting us and awakening us. So, what is the way forward within? The goal of this inward journey is always to become more nearly ourself. The spiritual journey is individual, highly personal. It can't be organized or regulated. And it's certainly not true that everyone should follow one path. We must listen to our own truth. My own path has had many branches with lots of twists and turns. And for me, the seven principles of Unitarian Universalism have become a most useful framework on my own journey. Reverend Anthony Macker explores this idea in Faith and Theology, The Journey of Life. He writes, "Life is a journey of continual learning and growth. Unitarian Universalism's focus is helping people find answers for themselves for a lifetime. Teaching people how to tell the difference between truth and falsehood. Jesus once said, 'You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.' That's the secret of happiness from a Unitarian Universalist perspective, being set free by living into the truth. Truth allows life to flourish and brings people and planet together in harmony, whereas falsehood denigrates life, violates our relationships, destroys our world. We seek truth wherever truth is to be found. And one of these places it can be found is within the seven principles. The principles start with the individual, inherent worth and dignity, but move steadily outward to embrace all of creation, the interdependent web of all existence. It means you won't be in the truth if you ignore yourself and focus on everyone else. But you will be equally lost if you make everything all about you. There has to be a balance, self and other. Self is never isolated from other. The individual has inherent worth and dignity, but a significant part of that inherent worth and dignity is an ability to take responsibility for the times when we fail to act justly, fairly, and compassionately. There has to be a balance. For us, the challenge is trusting the journey of one's experience, conscience, reason, etc., even as we try to keep an open mind for future insights that may alter what we know. The challenge is dwelling in ambiguity without being overwhelmed or paralyzed by it. The challenge is maintaining deep commitments, but never allowing ourselves to get closed-minded. Unitarian Universalism is not for the faint-hearted. In the journey of life, we know that things change, and what we might have fully embraced at one time later turns out to ring false for us. We also know that the journey is surprising and takes us down roads we never could have anticipated. We don't take the journey takes us. And everything is grist for the mill. From everything, we can learn. The journey of life is messy, and there must be a willingness to tolerate confusion, a willingness to be imperfect and evolving. We are supported in this journey by the seven principles. We are encouraged to build our own theology and not simply copy someone else's work. We're going to make a lot of mistakes, and at moments feel like we are wasting time, but that's okay. From everything, we can learn. While this search and journey is personal, and we have to walk that lonesome valley by ourselves, it's also important to share that journey with others. Now, Buddhists take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, or the community of monks. I see Unitarian Universalism, and specifically Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship, as a more open Sangha. Now I want to shift focus now from the personal to the collective. So we'll take a short break and listen to hymn number 348, Guide My Feet. A religion that promises a life without tension, a life without conflict, a life without suffering is a religion of passivity, a religion of mediocrity, a religion of insignificance. Everything worth doing in the world is a desperate gamble, a game of chance where nothing is certain. If I refuse to play the game, if I refuse to risk myself, if I refuse to throw the dice, I am never really alive. I am then only flesh, baking in the sun on a middling plateau, with no view of the valley and no road to the peak. Those words come from Reverend David O. Rankin. We at Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship are setting out on a collective journey into the future, into the unknown. And this is a challenging time for many of us. For the past 37 years, Unitarian House at 129 South Algoma Street has been our home, and the thought of leaving it brings a variety of responses. Now I want to offer some context for our current situation. For the first quarter century of our existence, we functioned without a permanent home. In the earliest years, members met in rented quarters in private homes and began exploring options. Should we buy land and erect a building, buy land and wait, buy an existing building, rent a permanent facility? Or should we hire a minister? By 1964, sketches were prepared for a permanent building to accommodate 180 persons with religious education space for 100 participants. However, we continued to meet in temporary spaces until 1984, and services and meetings were held in many locations around the Lakehead. The lack of a permanent home was a real challenge as years went on, with members having to carry supplies to and from each service or meeting. In the 1970s, things were really difficult as services were reduced and the group nearly folded. By 1983, there were only 32 members, and it was very difficult to find an executive. Sound familiar? However, in December of 1983, Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship Incorporated and voted 28-4 to purchase the Finnish Pentecostal Church at 129 South Algoma. Members took possession, and after working on the building, opened for services every Sunday. Membership doubled, the RE program expanded, Unitarian House was the catalyst that LUF needed to stabilize and grow. For the next 20 years, the building offered a welcoming space for services, as well as room for religious exploration. However, accessibility and other shortcomings demonstrated the need to seek out different space. And in 2004, the Redwood Alliance Church on North Edward Street was the focus of a determined search, and efforts to convince members to purchase it failed by a slim margin. My own first involvement in LUF was in 2005, and it was as part of the Way Forward Task Force that optimistically produced a report calling for both professional ministry and a new building. Now, Periodic efforts at finding accessible space have gone on since then. The possibility of making Unitarian House accessible has been explored in great detail, and with none of the options being suitable to solve the problems with the building. Since 2017, our strategic plan has called for finding accessible space. Now, following a board decision in late 2020, in January 2021, members voted 25-8 to allow the board to sell the building as soon as is reasonable. Now, following this democratic process, this has now been set in motion. A real estate agent has been contracted, and a for sale sign will go up this Tuesday. Now, we still enjoy the ambience of Unitarian House, and many of us will grieve its loss. But after 37 years, the need for change is clear. And I want to offer some personal thoughts on leaving our current home and stepping into an uncertain future. Accessibility is the major factor, with no feasible, practical, or acceptable options available. I have followed all of these efforts since 2005, and despite what you may have heard recently, I do not believe there are any options that would warrant us staying in the building if we really want to live our principles. More and more members and friends are unable to access the building due to mobility issues, and our membership continues to age. Now, although the building is relatively sound, there are maintenance and upgrade costs that will only continue to increase in the future. Over the past few years, our religious exploration program has become virtually non-existent, and in part because of unsatisfactory conditions in the basement. Membership over the past several years has been in decline, and our current membership is only 80. Finding members for leadership roles has become increasingly difficult. A reminder of what happened in the 1970s? Parking at the building is extremely limited and creating another problem for those aging and/or with limited mobility. One of our income streams has been rentals, and lack of accessibility makes that increasingly rare. LUF needs new members, especially younger active members, and our current situation has not been attractive to that. Now, on the other hand, the meeting hall has offered a comfortable, welcoming space since 1984, and a space with really good acoustics for music. After that length of time, it's very difficult to let go, and finding suitable new space is an ongoing challenge. But with our current home to fall back on, it has been much easier to avoid the difficult decision to move. I think the point we are at now can be summed up in the words of Steve Maraboli. The beautiful journey of today can only begin when we learn to let go of yesterday. Now, some years ago, I found a sermon by Reverend Mark Morrison Reed called "Where There Is No Vision, People Will Perish." He wrote, "You need a vision if you are to thrive. Without a vision, you will fall into a clubbish inwardness that newcomers will find it difficult to become part of. You'll develop set ways of doing things and be religious in ways that are not responsive to the needs of the next generation. The purpose of the church is not to make us comfortable. It is to transform lives and shape society so that it better reflects our principles. Now, the coronavirus pandemic has forced a pause in our normal lives, and as we begin to open up again, this is a very good time to ask, where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? And these are the questions that can help us focus our vision on our collective journey. There are huge issues that face the world today: climate change, systemic racism, economic inequality, and so on. To work toward a world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, we will have to journey together. And as Mike and the Mechanics will say in our closing music this morning, it's better every step we take together. Now, I'm going to close with words from Pema Chodron, who writes about the spiritual journey with words that I think apply to our situation here at LUF. Embarking on the spiritual journey is like getting into a very small boat and setting out on the ocean to search for unknown lands. With wholehearted practice comes inspiration, but sooner or later we will also encounter fear. For all we know, when we get to the horizon, we're going to drop off the edge of the world. Like all explorers, we are drawn to discover what's waiting out there without knowing yet if we have the courage to face it. May we have the courage to face the journey, and may it be so.